Hi, this is James Schramko from Fast Web Formula, and the topic for discussion today is Google AdWords, and one of my favorite experts in this field is Mike Rhodes, who runs a boutique AdWords agency, and they really only deal with high-end clients, like on a minimum ad spend per month, and that's pretty much how they filter it, is my understanding. So he knows a lot about this. He's become an expert on this particular topic, and I want to tap into Mike's vast experience and talk about current trends with pay-per-click advertising and just see where things are up to with AdWords. So welcome to the call, Mike.
Thanks, James. Good to be here, mate.
It's good. We got to catch up earlier this year at an event that was run by Ed Dale in Melbourne, and yeah. I got to have a few conversations with you, and I really like the depth of knowledge you have in this particular topic. Is it fair to say this takes up most of your attention?
Yes. That's pretty much what we as web savvy as our agency does on a day-to-day basis. Predominantly, we are running AdWords accounts for clients, so we spend a huge amount of time keeping up with everything that's going on, but we also just specialize in that. So if you want to know about email marketing or writing copy, I am not your man. I know just enough to be dangerous in those other areas. But yeah, we focus in on predominantly Google AdWords, a little bit of some of the other PPC, but almost exclusively AdWords.
Now, as internet marketers, most of the people listening to this have got some exposure to the internet marketing scene, and they will have seen a lot of discussion about AdWords, and particularly on the lines of, well, you know, Google sucks and pay-per-click accounts slapped and Google.
I melted a credit card and
yeah, or you know, AdWords is the old scene. Now we need to get into Facebook pay-per-click, and we need to do CPV, which is cost per view, or pay-per-view, which is a very trendy type of topic. Even though you know, I first started doing that about 2.5 years ago, and now that it's become the latest product that gurus like to promote, it sort of seems like AdWords has been pushed to the side. Is AdWords less important than before, or is it still happening?
No, I think you just nailed it on the head with that line. The latest product that gurus want to promote. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of, right, we've done our dash in terms of selling product on Google AdWords. Now we need a new flavor of the month so that we can push the next product and get another $1 million launch. I think that's a huge, huge part behind why, you know, Gmail advertising got really, really big for about 3 months and then disappeared. And then it was into the next thing, which is Facebook, and then into the next thing. Is AdWords dead? Absolutely not. I mean, still, it's only a tiny fraction of brick and mortar businesses, which I think really is who Google want to be using AdWords. So they, as we both know, do not like the fly-by-nighters, the scammers, and to some extent, the affiliate marketers. They're systematically purging them out of the system. There are still tons of small businesses that ought to be using AdWords and that still really have no idea that it exists. Or, yeah, they've heard those stories of melting credit cards and ludicrously high prices because they just don't understand enough about how to make it work for them.
Yeah, I think that does sound consistent, because I observe that a lot of internet marketers, they come in and pretty much destroy and rampage across every property that they move into.
Yeah.
And they don't always provide the best user experience. Is that something that Google really are really after, to become the premium search engine?
I believe that is the thing that they're after. And I'll often ask this when I'm on stage, is why do you think Google exists, or what is their main goal? And everybody usually says money, and I actually don't think it is directly money. I think it's market share, and the way they get market share is by providing a better user experience than the likes of Yahoo and Bing and bless them, Yellow Pages. They're still trying. So I think that is the number one thing that they're interested in. I mean, that's why they tested 46 different shades of blue for the AdWords interface, for God's sake. They're fanatical about the user interface, about the user experience, and not just within AdWords, obviously, but the user experience of using Google as a whole. I think they believe that if that is a better experience than using the other things, then we will all go back to Google. And certainly, you'd have to say, looking at the latest figures in Australia, that that's working. I think it's 92% now of Australia regularly uses Google. So you'd have to say it's working. And I think that is the thing that they are focused on, yes.
Now, the average bricks and mortar business has no clue about AdWords.
No.
It sort of reminds me, actually, how I found out about AdWords was I went to a very, very early internet marketing event. It was run by a property guy, actually, and the lady from Google was there and gave out vouchers. And I'm talking about probably 4.5 years ago, maybe more, 5 years ago.
Right.
And
okay.
I did what every business did. I went in and started bidding on a single keyword that was very general and rather expensive.
Yep.
And lost my money very quickly.
And expensive 4.5 years ago would have been, oh, like 25, 30 cents a click.
No, it was more like huge. $12 or $13 a click back then for terms like Mercedes.
Ah, right.
And you know, it took me several hundred thousand dollars and testing and refining to get to a level where I felt comfortable with AdWords, that I was able to use it as a weapon. I imagine that your average client is coming to you because it's something that you don't really want to have to learn if you're trying to run another business.
I think we're maybe a little different from the average agency dealing with small businesses, because we do tend to deal with slightly bigger businesses. So they tend to have a marketing manager, and she tends to be very busy running all of their other marketing on maybe TV, radio, and press and so on. So they actually, they're at that stage where they know they don't know, which is probably a bit more than most businesses. If we'd had this conversation maybe a couple of years ago when we maybe had a slightly different client mix, then yeah, it was more the case of there's this thing, I've heard I should be using it. My web designer's kind of said that he knows a little bit about it, but that kind of scares me because I don't think he really knows anything about it. I've been told I need to use it. Can you help? And there's another big chunk, actually, that have tried to use it and are about to throw the towel in, but they also recognize that it's important because Google have made it so easy to start using the system. And yeah, they keep handing out, you know, $75 vouchers everywhere to get you using the system, but they also make it harder and harder to master the system. So there's a lot of people paying more than they need to or more than they should that maybe don't understand that they could be paying an awful lot less if they just set it up the right way, if they just got a bit of extra education.
Now I want to jump in on that. We will talk about techniques that people can use to get better results. And also I want to talk about the fear of budget and expense. It seems very, very common. Whenever you talk about pay-per-click advertising, a lot of businesses say, I can't afford it. Or a lot of marketers say, no, I'm doing my free marketing. You know, I'm doing articles and videos. And there's this obsession in internet marketing about free, 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 free. How do you go about explaining return on investment and investing in marketing versus paying money and not getting a result when you're discussing this with your potential clients?
There's probably a few different avenues that takes. The first is to say that every single one of our clients, it's positive ROI for them. They wouldn't still be doing it if it wasn't. We've had most of our clients with us for 2 or 3 years, and they still want to do that month after month. They wouldn't dream of stopping because it's making them money. They know for every dollar they tip into the machine, they get 5 or 17 or 53 back, whatever it might be for them. The other side of it is, for me, A lot of people only see AdWords as sending more people to your site. And I think one of the best uses of it early on in the marketing plan as a whole for a business is research and to a certain extent testing, but research to find which are the phrases that pay, which phrases make you money, because typically there's that 95-5 rule there, and maybe of 1,000 keywords, only 5%, only 50 of them actually make you money consistently day after day. And so you want to know which 50 they are before you go and do your article marketing and your blogs and your SEO. You don't want to be guessing and doing all that work for SEO only to find you're at the top of the tree, but you're at the top of the wrong tree.
Exactly. And I know a lot of very well-known SEO experts teach invest in pay-per-click first. Go and research with a budget, you know, allocate X amount to test so that you know which which offers convert better.
The good ones do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The good ones do say that because they know that that's the only way that you're going to know for sure. And yeah, before you do all that work, you really want to know for sure. You don't want to be guessing or just picking keywords, which is probably how a lot of that second tier of SEO guys operate, which is picking the keywords in which there's enough traffic to show you some results, but not too much competition that it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Whereas a decent SEO.
Exactly right. The decent SEOs are going to go for that hardcore competitive, there's absolutely without doubt money in it type keywords.
If there's proof that there's ROI there. And yeah, so what? It's a bit harder to do, but then the returns are going to be that much better for their client.
It's a really good point. And so someone listening to this, if they're in the beginner to intermediate phase, they're probably going for those long tail, low competition, reasonable volume words. And I've certainly shifted my business to go for the shorter tail, high traffic, high paying keywords for most of my new development sites. And that there's a slightly more difficult assault. Mm. But if you can make your offers convert, you know, combining good copywriting and tracking and testing, and you have the right pay-per-click strategies and your SEO strategies, you can actually end up with vast amount of profit. So most of your commercial clients are driving traffic to something that results in an action, right?
Yes. Because the first job, I feel, for us is to, one, prove to them that it is positive ROI, and then to give them that intelligence for them to use in the rest of their marketing. I mean, we've literally tripled people's businesses by changing a domain name or by giving them intelligence into how their marketing ought to work or how their market sees them and what their market is looking for in their words and language, that they then go and change their radio ads or change their press ads based on that and get that much better results in their other marketing. I'll give you a quick example. We had a client in Adelaide recently that had it down to about maybe three images that they wanted to use for a billboard, and they really couldn't decide between them. They knew which one the boss wanted, but they weren't sure which one was going to get the best result. We ran those as image ads on Google's content network, or now Google's display network, ran them on there for a couple of weeks and said, well, this is the one that gets the most clicks. This is the one that resonates best with your market. There's no definitive guarantee that that's going to be the best billboard, but at least you've got some black and white numbers now. At least you have some data to take back upstairs to the boardroom and say, look, we've tested. This is the winner. Let's roll out with this, which they did.
Yeah, excellent technique. And I think that also works for book titles as well.
Yep. Tim Ferriss very famously tested the 4-hour work week. I would love to know. I actually don't know. I don't know if you've seen anything on this online. I'd love to know what the other three titles were that he tested, because I still reckon they'd be quite good book titles to use one day.
I have read there. Someone did publish, and I think one of them was the 2-hour work week. And
right. Okay.
There was so some other one which was completely separate altogether, but apparently 4 hours was more believable.
Yep. That was the winner.
Now, I want to go back to what you said about content and display network. You're mm-hmm. obviously using that. How much importance do you place on the display network versus your traditional search pay-per-click these days?
Absolutely huge. There are so few agencies, never mind people trying to learn this for themselves and do it for their own stuff. There are so few agencies running across multiple industries that really know how to use the content network well, and the display ads, image ads, are just an extension of that. So you're never going to use those well if you don't understand the basics of the content network. I'll keep calling it the content network because I've been calling it that for 5 years and I can't get used to Google's name changes all the time. I think it's absolutely huge. We've got some clients where I'd go as far as say 95% of their spend is on the content network, because the search network is just too expensive for them to get that positive ROI, whereas on content, all day long, getting leads all day long, 50, 60 a day in certain markets at a really, really good price. It's maybe a slightly harder to test, and there's slightly less research that you can do in terms of you don't get as crystal clear a picture back of how your market works. But I think the benefits outweigh that. And certainly, yeah, the cost per lead that we've been getting in a number of really different markets, I think it's just an absolute goldmine, and very few people are using it properly.
And what type of images do you do? Do you have professionally designed ones? Do you load a lot of images and then test them down, or do you have a good feel for what type of layout is going to work when you get started?
I try not to make assumptions, and that's generally quite difficult to do because, like everybody else, I'll have a fairly strong opinion. But I would rather that the market be the ultimate decider in that, and we test everything. That's really the key to image ads, is to test a lot. There are certain layouts that do seem to work better, but really a strong call to action and showing them what they're going to get. And then consistency between the image ad and the landing page. I think that's probably more important than the layout of the ad itself. That obviously is going to affect the number of people that click it, but you're not really interested in clicks at the end of the day. You're interested in conversions. So your conversion rate, your cost per conversion is far more important. And so the consistency between the image and the landing page is probably more important than the image ad itself. But yeah, testing images is a big part of it. Little changes can have a huge impact, not just in the click-through rate too, but a big impact in terms of the number of impressions that you're able to get on a daily or, say, a weekly basis. Little changes, it's quite bizarre, but some ads will just get huge numbers of impressions and will roll out really strongly, whereas others will sort of wither and die.
And what's the difference? Is it just the design?
Yeah, it seems to be. I think that the core of it, click-through rate, is a big factor in that, but small changes in click-through rate can just get you that leg up and get your ad seen by massive amounts of people. It's really, there's so many data points that Google's collecting for all of this. So it knows how many clicks other ads got that were on that page on that day at that time of week, seen by somebody in Sydney. And they're constantly testing lots of different things to see what makes them the most money, even though I said money wasn't a big part of their formula. But on the content network, it's basically rent. They're renting that space out. They want to get the most profit per pixel for that space. So, yeah, little changes really do have a big, big impact on the content network. It's all about testing.
So are these changes in the design itself? I mean, how do they even know what's on it? Do they human review it?
There's definitely an element of that, but I think that's more of a pass-fail. So I think just once it's... Yeah, they're going to human review it to make sure that you're not sneaking stuff in there that they don't like. I don't know for sure, but I don't think they're at the stage yet where a computer is making a judgment call based on that image and understanding what that's an image of. I think they've got a lot more human reviewers than they did a couple of years ago.
Because it can take time when you set a campaign between when you set it and when it goes live. There's a bit of a delay sometimes.
That really goes to the age of the account. So once you've had your account running for a while, so most of our clients won't get that delay. So they're trusted by Google now. They've seen consistent performance over a period of time. And so those new images will roll out almost immediately, usually immediately. And then a human reviewer will come and have a look at them at some point in the next few days and give it the tick, and they'll keep going.
What are the best sizes for banners?
300 by 250 is predominantly the best size. So that's the best place to start. Test lots and lots at that one size. And then once you've got a winner or two, then create the different sizes and roll those out. The 336 by, I think it's 280, they work pretty well too, and skyscrapers. Because if you think about when you land on a page, if there's an ad right across the top, the leaderboard and the banner ads right across the top or right across the bottom, as soon as you scroll, they're off the page, and they're much easier to ignore. Obviously, people have heard the term banner blindness before. And I think we do have banner blindness. I think it's really easy to ignore something that we've been seeing for 10 years. But predominantly those large rectangle is the proper name for those 300 by 250 images. They tend to be right next to the content, and they tend to be more noticeable, and they tend to get higher click-through rates. But everything's a test.
I love those big square ones too. For the last 2.5 years, my best converting ad is that size, and it is a picture of the report that I give away, which is exactly the same picture that's on the page they land on, and I haven't been able to beat that yet.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll have to have a little competition maybe at FWF and see if someone can come up with a better one for you.
That'd be good. I've pitched a few different competitors at this particular ad. Now, what is the go with regards to managing the account manually versus ticking some of the automation options?
We've tried a number of the automation options, and a lot of them are really only concerned with bids. And so they'll automate your bidding on a almost second by second basis. But for me, that isn't enough. As you know well, Google is far more interested in quality than just money. So quality score is obviously a massive part of the equation. And then as a business, you're interested in cost per action, cost per conversion, which doesn't change on a second by second basis. That takes days and maybe even weeks to see the trends in that as you test different things. So I think a lot of the automation, there are definitely some benefits to it, and it can do a lot of the stuff that's pretty boring that needs to be done, but your efforts really should be focused on optimizing conversions and optimizing for cost per conversion, and not worrying too much about if you should be bidding 46 or 43 cents for that particular keyword on that day. There are some benefits, but for the average business, they really don't, in my experience, they don't justify the price tag, because a lot of those automated systems are still not cheap.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of, big American agency type companies that happy to charge a lot of money for supposed intelligent bidding, and I've always been able to beat them at least 2-1. Now, tell me, what about inside the account? Do you ever tick the box that optimizes a campaign at a cost per lead and that sort of stuff using your conversion pixel?
That is always worth a test once the account's been up and running. So for your listeners that maybe aren't fully aware of this, there is a box there where once you've got 15 conversions in a 30-day period, you're able to let Google take over some of the running of your account and say to Google, right, for this particular campaign, I'm aiming for a $10 cost per lead. $10 is my maximum. Go crazy, Google. Go and see if you can get me leads cheaper than that. That is worth a test. I tend to leave it until I've got at least 100, preferably 200 conversions. The more data you can give the system, the better job it does of then managing that for you. But yeah, our experience with it has been it works really bloody well. Because again, it comes back to the data points that we talked about before. Without getting too techie on it all, there is so much that Google knows about your ads that you will never ever know. What time of day, in which place, on which day of the week, when the sun was shining, and you know, there's just so much that goes into it. But most of that you can find out about your own ads, but you'll never know how your competitors fared on different websites, on different days, at different times of the week, and blah, 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 blah. So Google has all of that, and it's making all of those judgment calls for you and then deciding where and when to show your ads. So given that it's got all that data that you don't have, kind of makes sense to let the system do some of the work for you and at least test CPA bidding. I think it works really well. They've refined it a lot over the past 12 months. It was pretty horrible when it first came out. It really was very hit and miss. And you might chuck in a target bid of, say, $15, and you'd get some leads for 12 and some for 8 and some for 33, which really wasn't the plan. But now, yeah, it works very well. We'll be talking about that a little at the seminar.
Yeah, I'd be really interested to dig further into conversion optimization. And a lot of that relies on installing your tracking identifier on the offer page or the thank you page so that you can find out without any doubt which of your campaigns are actually making the money, right?
Absolutely. And you shouldn't really be running an offer. In my opinion, you shouldn't be running an offer without that tracking code installed. That's job one. is installing that.
I agree with you. That will save most people stress. I wanted to ask you, you've got big time accounts and you're running a lot of this. I imagine you're doing things over and over again. I'd love to know what type of tools, if any, you'd be using on a regular basis that you feel you couldn't live without.
Couldn't live without Excel, couldn't live without AdWords Editor, and couldn't live without my staff. They'd be the top three. We use a few paid tools, but we don't use a whole lot. Keyword Spy would be the main paid keyword tool that we use. Google Keyword Tool a lot. For me, that still has the best data available. It's not always accurate, but it's better than some of the other stuff that's out there. And then just a lot of education, a lot of ongoing education. I probably spend an hour to two a day still, even though I've been doing this 6 years. I would still spend that amount of time reading blogs, marketing Sherpa, keeping up with what's going on in the industries. Because, and as you know, there are so many other periphery industries around even just AdWords. AdWords is deeper than ever now. You can, in the States, there are specialists in the content network, specialists in negative keywords, specialists in image ads, just in little tiny pieces of AdWords. But then it's all the stuff that goes around that: landing page design, usability, color theory. There's so many things to be aware of and keep up with to be able to offer a holistic service, even though I hate that word. As far as tools go, I think they would be the key. AdWords Editor, which most of your listeners will know, I'm sure, free tool. You can download it and install it in about 5 minutes. If you're running, if you're spending more than $1,000 a month on AdWords, you absolutely have to be using that. It saves you enormous, enormous amounts of time. And if you're running multiple accounts, you can't live without it. So we're doing a lot of work in Excel these days. AdWords, I don't know if you noticed this, AdWords are in the middle of changing a lot of their reports. And all of the reports are now generated inside the interface instead of on the reports page. And they're starting to remove some of the more useful reports that used to be there. So I think Excel is going to become a more and more important tool in the managing of accounts. We were just talking about it in the office this morning.
In terms of account creation, are you using any tools to concatenate or come up with, you know, your starting campaigns?
We used to rely on Speed PPC very heavily. These days we've got our own templates in Excel that do the bulk of that work. We still use Speed PPC quite a bit, but Excel really is predominantly where we build everything. Using a lot of Google's free tools to build to get the initial ideas, the Wonder Wheel, which I think most people are now familiar with, but I absolutely love the Wonder Wheel idea generation. Yeah, it's a fantastic tool. And then all of those other sort of similar sites, Microsoft's OCI tool, some of the visual thesaurus type sites, just in terms of idea generation. Amazon is still one of my favorite places for idea generation. Reviews, Amazon index, table of contents on books. And competitor sites. Never forget those.
That's right. Now, you mentioned something before, negative keywords. That used to be one of my favorite things to add to any campaign and get an instant result. Is it still one of the best tricks going for an agency to improve a client's account? Because from my understanding, hardly anyone uses negative keywords when they don't really know too much about AdWords.
From a dollar return for time spent for a brick and mortar business, absolutely. Particularly for accounts that come into us that have been running for a while and need fixing. You're right. Most people have no negative keywords at all, but if they do, they might have 10 or 20. For probably 80% of the accounts I see that obviously even know what negative keywords are, and that would probably be less than half, they have maybe 10 or 20 negative keywords. So yeah, that is an absolute dead set easy way to instantly double click-through rates on most accounts.
Do you have a sneaky way to build your negative AdWords list? I've had to pull them from the Google search query report.
Yes.
That's one way that I'm aware of. Are there other ways?
That's pretty much the way we do it. So, God, you're good at getting information out of people, aren't you?
That's the whole point of an interview, Mike.
Search query report. dump it in Excel. Excel has this wonderful little tab under the data column, which says turn columns into text. So if you've got a three-word phrase in one cell, it'll break that up and put it into three separate cells. So then you take all of that information and you stick it into one huge column, and then you count the occurrence of each of those words. So you end up with a single word and a number next to it, which is the frequency of how often that word got used in that entire search query report. Now sort that on its head, start at the ones, and that's where most of your negative keywords are.
Fabulous. There you go. Well, that is gold. I'm sure you've got other tips like this for us when you come along to FWF2. When you're there too, I'm just going to introduce this idea, but I know you won't have time to explain it. I just want you to tell us about remarketing. We're hearing this pop up. It's hot. What is it?
Yep.
Give us the nutshell.
The best explanation I've heard of them yet is stalker ads. So essentially, when somebody comes to your website, depending on the strategy of how you're using it, let's do it the simple way. Somebody has come to one of your landing pages but didn't opt in, and maybe you've got three different landing pages. So you put a little piece of code on each of your three landing pages, and you cookie that person once they land on any one of your landing pages, and then they disappear off. What you're able to do then is say to Google, okay, I'm not going to give you any keywords. I'm not going to restrict you. I'm going to say whenever these people that have been cookied are anywhere on the content network, show them my ad and show them this particular ad, because I know they've been to my site but didn't buy or didn't opt in. So I know that they know who I am. I know that they know about my offer. They've at least been to my landing page. They haven't just seen one of my ads. They haven't just heard about me. They've been to my site. Show them this special ad. Maybe it's a special deal. It's a better price than you offered everybody else. And of course, you take them to a new separate landing page just for this little segment. So it's a way of segmenting your audience, but it's a way of showing new and different ads to people that have been cookied based on some action they took on your site. So for you, maybe you would show them different ads based on whether they've just been to the blog, whether they've opted in for their free report, or whether they've been to the FWF seminar page. FWF2.com.au, I think, is a fantastic affiliate link that really you should have bought, but you didn't, and I got it. FWF2.com.au, I'll just say that again in case people missed it. So you could show people different ads based on how they've acted within your site. So people that have signed up for the free report but haven't bought anything from you yet, you could show them some ads relating to that and say, hey, have you checked out double-digit CTR yet? For you, special price, $1, even though it's free for most people. So it's a way of following people around, but there's so many different strategies that you can use there. And, yeah, we'll squeeze as much of that into the talk on Sunday as we possibly can, because it is a hot topic. We've been playing with it a lot over the past few weeks. It is still fairly new. I was going to tell a whole other story, but I won't, because it's just not interesting. I've caught myself in time.
Let me just get a question there. Could someone go and sort of do some pre-reading so that when you talk about it, they know what it is in detail, and then you can sort of bring them closer to some of your hot insider tips?
Gosh, not off the top of my head, but how's that for a challenge? I will put together a blog post about it and I will send it to you to send out.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to. I mean, I think it's something that I'm extraordinarily interested in, because it's like it screams conversions to me. That's segmented, it's targeted, and it is worth developing. And who's the main source that you're using for this? Are you using the Google one?
Yeah. I mean, this has existed, and it's existed in those other ad networks for a long time. Jonathan Mizell talked about this extensively at Perry's gig up in Maui earlier in the year, and it was hilarious because he spent a whole afternoon on it. The room was wrapped. It was a great, great talk, and it was literally 3 days later that Google brought their own remarketing system out and said, here you go, let's make this super easy for you. Manage it all from within your account. which really buggered up his big sell of $6,000 to do it for you. But anyway, that's beside the point. I think it's going to be a huge, huge thing moving forward. Yeah. As people start to play with different strategies, different ways to segment your market. And of course, you can also get really tricky with this. So you can exclude various segments of your audience. So people that have already bought FWF2 tickets, say, you would not show them the ads that you're showing to everybody else that has been to that landing page but didn't buy.
So you could. So to those people, then you could...
You show something else entirely.
Yeah, you could say, listen, have you ordered the DVD set from the event or something?
There you go. Yep.
All right. Great idea. Well, you've been super generous, Mike, with your time, as always. I'm really, really looking forward to digging deeper into this. I think the whole point of today is to give people a great sort of feel for where we're going with this and how much impact you can get from just some insider knowledge from someone who's been doing this for 6 years and works with mega big accounts of... What's your starting account? It's like $5,000 or $6,000 a month.
$5,000 a month and up.
Okay, so you're only dealing on a big scale. So you must have more data, and that's why I love talking to you about this. I've got to go away now and play with my AdWords editor. Thanks so much, Mike.
You're welcome, mate. Always a pleasure.